Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
They're sending this basic trash over to the U.S. Senate.
Hunter Biden has no knowledge of the accusations against the president.
The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly.
She's orchestrated the Church of Holy Hill.
It's actually, I think, one of those things my father's going to go down for, is letting people see through the BS of media.
Let's go do it, baby.
Let's do it.
Six on three, one, two, three. Three.
Yeah, nice. Nice, Lindsey Graham. The Church of Holy Hell. I like that this weekend. I was watching Fox News Sunday when he came up with that one. I'll have to say, though, I was as it started to come out of his mouth, I'm thinking to myself, Lindsey had this one planned way in advance.
Oh, yeah, he wrote that.
He didn't just ad-lib that line. He thought about that one ahead of time. He was just waiting to roll it out at the right time during that interview. Hey, happy Monday. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tricia in here, obviously. You've heard her voice there a minute ago.
Good morning.
Denise Schaefer enjoying this holiday off. It is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Brian Feldman from down the hall at KMOX. And, of course, he and I were longtime co-workers over at Channel 4.
Good morning, Mark. Good to see you again. Been a long time since we've talked together on the air.
No kidding, buddy.
Man.
I can't see you because there's a microphone between me and your face right now. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
I didn't realize you guys worked together.
He helped me a ton when I first got into Channel 4. So I started off doing sports, and then I moved into doing news. And I had never done a news story in my life. And I was freaked out.
Sure.
My desk was actually right in desk or whatever that
our
was.
Pod.
Was right next to each other. And Mark helped me a ton back then.
Well, that's
so no,
cool.
Mark and I go back a long ways.
We do. We have a great time. Of course, Brian was covering sports, so we've almost got a Tom Ackerman type sports anchor in the studio with us this morning. We can talk about what happened yesterday. Oh, the Chiefs won.
Chiefs.
And they're going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. That's stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I thought it was an incredible game on both sides for the AFC and the NFC side. I think Patrick Mahomes is just an unbelievable player.
He really is.
That guy is just insane. And how many teams, looking at him, saying how they could have the opportunity to take him.
I was a little surprised how Green Bay got handled. Just handled.
That was hard to watch for me as a fan.
Yeah, top two teams supposedly battling off, and they were just it was just over with.
Yeah, I was out of town, so I didn't get a chance to watch a ton of it over the weekend. But
yeah.
I like the Chiefs in this one. I really do. I mean, being able to watch them for most of the year, I think, 50 years, I think there's just a story to be said for, we've seen a lot of curses in sports be broken between, what the Blues were able to do and what the Cubs are going to be able to do. And, here in St. Louis, without an NFL team, I think a lot of people look at the Chiefs as kind of that hometown team now. So I think there's going to be a lot of people here in St. Louis pulling for Kansas City.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll have to adopt them. I wouldn't have mattered. I hate the Chiefs. Not the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I hate the 49ers and the Packers. So I it didn't matter to me who won that game. I was going to be rooting against them. Yeah.
I like the Packers.
My 49ers disdain goes back a long way. I was a long-suffering Bengals fan growing up.
Oh, my.
And both times they managed, last time I was at the game at Joe Robbie Stadium when they played the 49ers and got beat. At that point, it was one of the closest Super Bowls in history to that point, the score. And, of course, some guy named Joe Montana, I think, brought them back and whipped our butt. So
before the Rams came, I grew up as kind of a 90s kid here in St. Louis. Before we had the Rams, like, who was good in the early 90s was the Cowboys.
I actually grew up a
Cowboys fan. So a lot of those Cowboys 49ers rivalries in the NFC championships back then. So I grew up despising the Niners. So it's kind of easy for me to say, you know what? It's kind of cool to see Kansas City make
Chiefs.
it and Root against the 49ers.
I enjoy listening to Tony Romo analyze those games. He's
done an amazing job.
He really has.
He actually accurately predicted a lot of the plays that before they happened. And I saw a story that's saying he's getting a record offer from another one of the competing networks.
Oh, is he really?
To kind of move over just because he's been really good. And it doesn't surprise me. He wasn't the most likable person when he was on the field to people outside of Dallas, but in the broadcast booth. No, he really brings a different element to the game, someone that sees things before they happen.
Yeah. Plus, he occupied that position. And for people who've never sat down and had a long conversation with an NFL-caliber quarterback, right. If you ever get the opportunity, ask them to rattle off just one of their plays. They're like 20 characters long, telling each member of the team what their responsibility is for that play. And the quarterback has to know all of it. The individual players only need to know one. I mean, it's amazing the grasp of the game they have to have.
In a lot of ways, it's actually like another language.
Yeah, it really
is. If you actually hear it, average person will not understand a single word. I mean, you might understand some words like balloon, but like, what does that actually mean in the scope of football? It really is another language. And that's why, you know, to be good in football, you have to be a great athlete, but you also have to be smart. If you're not, you don't pick up the plays. You can't do a lot of things. So there is an element of knowledge that has to go into it.
Lots of respect for what those guys do. Well, you know, it is a holiday, but we're on the eve now of whatever's going to go down in the Senate tomorrow. Chuck Schumer's been out talking about it. Lindsey Graham, all of them. We're going to get to all of that for you this morning. In case you've been living under a rock, there's going to be a rally in Virginia today, in Richmond, Virginia, in support of gun rights, because the state is going well over the line, impeding on Second Amendment rights with some of these bills that they're trying to pass in what is now a completely blue state. So they scheduled a gun rally, and in reaction to it, the governor declared an emergency and banned guns. So there is likely to be conflict today, I suspect, at least peaceful, I also expect, on the grounds of the State House there in Virginia. And Alex Saltzman, who for a long time worked for the Missouri Firearms Coalition, is in Virginia. She's on the ground there today with other gun rights supporters, and she's going to call in here at about 6:35 this morning to give us an update on the feeling there in Virginia this morning. So be sure and hang around for that. Hans von Spakovsky, Rodney Boyd, Jesse Jane Duff, we got them all for you on this holiday morning. We'll be right back after our national anthem.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wall Street hates us. Drug companies hate us. Insurance companies? Yeah, hate us. Fossil fuel companies? Military industrial complex? And the 1% of the 1%? No, they don't hate us. You know what it is? They fear us.
For those of you keeping track at home, that would be multi-million dollar actor John Cusack, who is lecturing you. Apparently, he's a big Bernie Sanders supporter, and he appeared at a Bernie Sanders rally this weekend, where he's apparently just going to strip everybody of their money. Everybody's going to throw all their money in a pot, and we're all going to just share it. That's John Cusack's. So I wonder if he'd do his next movie for free.
Probably not. No, he's very opinionated. He has been. He like that Trump derangement syndrome that we speak of. That really hit him hard. He went full blown crazy on Twitter after Trump got elected.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. This is gold though, because we need to listen to some more of this. Let's listen to some more John Cusack. explaining to us what we need to understand. Apparently, he went all Greta Thunberg on us and AOC on us here. Cut number 9, please.
Bernie respects us enough to tell the truth, the hard truth. We have a 10 to 12-year window to radically transform our energy systems or climate change, predatory capitalism, and the endless war economies will rob us of the right to any future at all.
So, like, when he did that movie about the world ending and, like, his airplane took off from that runway just as the earth crumbled away below it, you think he really believed that was happening? I mean, I'm just in his own mind. So that's what the questions that come to me when I see this. He believes that. And he somehow here's the best bite is when he starts name dropping people. Go to cut 7, please.
Powerful writers, fighters, the legacies of Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker, Angela Davis, Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker, Eugene Debs, the Berrigan brothers, public intellectuals like Noam Chomsky, who would go on to influence everybody from Public Enemy to The Clash.
I find it fascinating that someone whose entire career has been, I mean, John Cusack didn't become a social worker to make $30,000 a year. He didn't become a teacher. He became an actor, and he became very rich doing it. Yet he hates the very system that allowed him to do that. There's an article today. The for those of you who don't go there, that's what I'm here for. I read the New York Times just so you understand what they're up to. They put out their presidential endorsement yesterday. Did you hear that?
Mm-mm.
They did. They put out their presidential endorsement for the Democrats. And they just couldn't make their mind up, like so many Democrats, apparently. And they've endorsed Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren and drew the conclusion that made the best woman win. And the interesting thing about it is that in their endorsement of Warren, the conclusion they draw in this article is that the American dream is impossible to achieve anymore. And we need somebody like Elizabeth Warren, who's going to destroy Wall Street, eliminate, oh, I don't know, a couple of 100,000 jobs in the healthcare insurance industry. And, you know, let him go work in auto insurance is her approach to that. We're going to make everything free and raise taxes on the so-called rich. We're going to tax the producers more and give more to the takers. This is the approach that the New York Times Board of Editorial Writers has endorsed here between Amy Klobuchar and they like Bernie Sanders. Don't get him wrong. But, you know, he would be 79 years old when he got sworn in, plus that heart attack on top of it. So they think they need to pick Lizzie, who's a few years younger, at what, 71? And she would have more ability to carry out Bernie's vision for America, which is, like John Cusack, taking your hard-earned money and giving it to somebody else. That's the bottom line for me. I don't care if you've got $1 billion or $50. I don't think I have the right to be envious of your cash and tell you I'm going to take it and I know better how to spend it than you do. Assuming you didn't do anything illegal to get your $50. You should be able to spend it the way you want. That's what they miss here. The American dream isn't dead. Why do you think people are waiting in line in Mexico to break into this country? This is, if not here, where is the question? When I read things like this and I hear these liberal progressives like John Cusack stand up and lecture me about how awful America is, I'm like, look at your life. Seriously. 314-241-9797. We're going to get to your phone calls coming up. We'll talk a little Kim Gardner in a few minutes. Stick around.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But we aren't done yet. We got a whole week and then a whole nother week to get ready to go to Miami. Let's go do it, baby.
Let's do it.
Chiefs on three, 1, 2, 3.
Patrick Mahomes having a little bit of fun yesterday in the locker room. I didn't notice if he lit up a cigar or smacked anybody on the rear end.
I didn't see any of that. No, it was a short clip, though.
Probably do that in NFL locker rooms, right? Just not if you're LSU at the Superdome or something. Superdome, weren't they? That's an NFL stadium. I guess they've got no smoking
what
everywhere
was
these
the
days.
Story about the butt slapping? You told me in the hall the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't talk about this a great deal, but the in the LSU locker room afterwards, who's the NFL player, Brian?
Odell Beckham Jr.,
who's a Cleveland Browns player and played for LSU. He's on the field after the game handing out cash to the players, which I don't know if they had a bet or if he was just trying to be funny or what, but now there are people, haters, claiming that was some violation of NCAA rules. Then he goes in the locker room, and here's the quarterback for LSU and another player lit up a celebratory cigar while they're sitting at their locker, and a security guard walks over to first ask them to put the cigar out, which they declined. Then he started threatening them that they couldn't smoke in there. And Odell Beckham Jr. standing behind him, and you see him on the camera, come over and smack the officer on the butt and say, like, lighten up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they've charged him with assault of a police officer for whacking a guy on the... Didn't look like he hit him hard, but I guess just the fact that he laid hands on him must have been it,
I think the officer asked to not have the charges pressed, so I think
that's
dropped.
Nice. Oh, he got dropped?
That's a great example afterwards.
Yeah. I can't stand it. Talk among yourselves. I've got to move these microphones because I can't see Brian's face while I'm talking.
Mark's moving furniture.
I got
Brian, it's you and I.
Probably not the smartest thing in the world to do. It's just, I don't know. It's just crazy how the NCAA, I don't know how much you know about the NCAA.
Not
but just
much.
The way that they enforce certain rules compared to how other universities break rules is just not terribly consistent.
Yeah. You think
Mark Emmert how that guy has skated justice from accountability in the way from North Carolina to Mizzou to Syracuse. I mean, just across the board. And then something like this happening. I didn't see the part about Beckham handing out the money. I just obviously the rear end slapping was the biggest aspect of the story. But then when the officer then says not to press charges, when I actually saw that, I'm like, you got to make an example somewhere. Like, credit Major League Baseball for what happened to the Astros. Just like set an example to say this will not happen again. When that happened, I just shook my head. I'm like, when you don't set examples, when you actually don't follow through on certain threats, you're just asking people to believe that they are, even if it's not a law, just like you can get away with whatever you want to get away
with. The rules
don't apply to you.
And, it's just not consistent.
And Beckham Jr. just pretty much was told the rules don't apply to you. So, okay.
Yeah,
that's when I hear that, I think. Okay, I'm sure it was not that big of a deal, but also, don't do that. Like, you know what I mean? You should know better. Don't manhandle security guards or officers, even if you're doing it in a joking way.
He's pretty cocky. I mean,
right?
He was clearly showing off, and he just signed some big, huge NFL contract. Right. So I'm sure he's got like $60 million in the bank somewhere, and he's not too worried about a minor fine by whoever he's going to get. But Joe Burrow, who was a quarterback for LSU, was one of the ones he handed money to. Ask him if he was going to give it back.
The one person that doesn't need it, based on what he's going to get in a matter of a few months.
Yeah. They asked him if he was going to give it back, and he said, yeah, I'm no longer an NCAA student athlete. I'm a senior. I'm not going to be here next year. I'm not worried about it.
Attributed to 60 touchdown passes. What are you going to do? Suspend me?
What a great story, though. They asked that kid this weekend. People have been telling him, you should tell the Bengals you're not going to play there. They're a horrible franchise. He's like, I got news for you. I'm going to play wherever they pay me the best to play. And if you're in the number one draft pick, they're going to have to pay you, right? Plus, he grew up, I didn't realize this, in Athens, Ohio, which is, 3 hours from Cincinnati, roughly. There's probably no easy way to get there, but it's roughly 3 hours from Cincinnati. So his dad could have his butt in the seats and in just a few short hours.
Just imagine if he actually got them to and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They would literally build a statue of him. Like, wouldn't you want that as an opportunity as a player?
Yeah.
And as a quarterback, I mean, hopefully, you don't get hit too much and you can play for a long time like Tom Brady and play into your 40s.
Right.
Like, you probably won't play for one team your entire career. I would love to have an opportunity to go to an organization like that. It's almost like before the Cubs won the World Series. Like, if you're a great baseball player, go try and go win a World Series because you're going to be immortalized forever. I think that'd be pretty cool to be able to go have an opportunity.
I think that's true. Remember the name Tim Couch?
Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely. 1999, first overall pick, yeah.
Do you want to know a little trivia here for the next time you're at a sports trivia event? Yeah. Tim Couch is my cousin.
No way.
He is. So when he was growing up in the hometown where my mom's from, my uncle used to go and see his high school games all the time and used to tell me, this kid's incredible. You ought to see me. When he was in eighth grade, his brother was the starting high school quarterback. His brother got injured. They brought Tim up from eighth grade to start a couple of high school games, which you can do in Kentucky, and several other states, and he won. He was like undefeated as a high school quarterback. He never lost. It was incredible. Anyway, he goes on. He plays for Hal Mumme at the University of Kentucky, becomes the number one pick in the NFL draft. 2000, the same year the Browns got an expansion team. So he gets taken in the first round by
number one overall pick
by the Browns, right? And I grew up hating the Cleveland Browns, but now my cousin, distant, my cousin is playing for them. And I'm thinking I'm going to support him. That kid went up there. He had all the potential in the world. 5 seasons on a bad team and suffered such a horrific beating because there was no offensive line. It ruined his career. He was a lefty, hurt his shoulder, was never able to recover from it. Tried to go to a different team after that, after his shoulder surgery, but he had just lost his zip on the ball. He lost his strength.
That's too bad.
Yeah, isn't that awful?
That was the year of the quarterback in 99, I remember, because McNabb went 2, Akili Smith went 3. I think that Dante Culpepper went to the Vikings like 11th overall, and then I think Cade McNown went to the Bears. Like, those were like 5 first-round picks.
Right.
Sean King went to the Buccaneers, I think, in the second round, and no, Tim Couch was incredible, and I remember that's definitely one of the downsides of going to a bad team is, if you go first overall, typically you're going to the worst team in the NFL. They don't have an offensive line to protect you, then those things can
happen. One of the upsides of that is that it got a little inside information that I thought was, funny because most of us will never be given a check for $12 million. Let's just face it. I mean, I played Powerball the other night. I haven't checked my ticket yet, but I think it's safe for me to tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be banking all that cash.
Darn it.
I know. So when Couch got picked number one in the NFL draft, he got a $12 million signing bonus. That was his signing. That was his no matter what. He got a $12 million signing bonus. And his agent, according to my uncle, went to the team and said, could you do us a favor? Mm-hmm. They negotiated that it be paid in 2 installments and the first one not be paid for 6 months so that he could establish residency in Florida. He went down to Tampa, bought
smart.
A condo, established residency in Florida, and then received his first payment down there so that he didn't have to pay any state tax on it, right? Still had to pay federal taxes, but no state taxes down there.
I see what they did there. So that's clever.
You're smart.
Yeah.
So you have to think when you have money.
There's a lot of people out there that don't do that. They just spend
it
all at once, and there you go.
And just think, John Cusack would be standing there with his hand out, wanting some of that. Sorry to tie those two things together. But I mean, it is. drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. I just have to tell you that. Anyway, enough of sports, but thank you, Brian Feldman, for your insight there, because I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I would have had no way to tell you who the other quarterbacks were in the 2000 NFL draft.
I used to have the entire, like, first round of the draft memorized. That
wow.
I didn't have much of a life when I was a kid. I knew two things. I love sports and I love public speaking. And I was like, maybe go try and be a sportscaster.
And you see, when I went into broadcasting years ago, I actually liked sports. Yeah. And I did sports for a while.
Did you really?
But I was not that guy. I was not the one that could memorize sports statistics and all that. So my first couple of stations, I did some sports reporting, which is how I got to go to the Super Bowl in 1989, right? When the Bengals played the 49ers. 89, I think it was 89. 89 or 90, one of the two. And Joe Robbie Stadium, in fact, where they're going to have this, that's where the Super Bowl is this year, right?
Miami, yeah.
I thought so. That was fun.
It's going to be cool.
Absolutely. But anyway, we appreciate your insight. That's fun. It's just fun memories of my cousin Tim Couch.
Yeah, that's cool.
Number one pick in the NFL. Now, I didn't see any of his cash. Maybe I should have pulled a John Cusack and called him up and said, you don't need all of that. You need to rein some of that down on the family, even your distant cousins like me.
You could ask for a 0% interest loan, maybe.
There you go.
Tim did okay for himself, though, right? He got injured in the NFL, but he banked his money. He now lives on a small mansion outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and he's married to a former Playboy model.
So you're saying he's doing okay?
He's doing okay.
Didn't have the Super Bowl, but he's doing
okay. In case you're wondering, that's true. All right, quick break here. 314-241-9797.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Amen. Did you feel at any point on Friday that the weather forecasters had handed you a crap sandwich with a smile?
Yes.
I bet you did.
I did, yes.
And I was so happy because, you know, we didn't change our plans for Friday night. We were meeting some people out for dinner and we got in the car and we drove up there. It just didn't end up being anything. And I'm sitting there and I get a text from Tricia with a picture of the furniture delivery truck at her house. I was so happy for it.
It made it. Yes. Yeah. I was very thankful for that.
Bet you were.
I felt bad, though, because I told the Glover show I'd come in and play a game with them and I got nervous. I didn't want to stand them up. So I called Rachel at about 11 and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And it got me. Then it just rained. You know what I mean? She's like, don't worry about it. I don't want you to be unsafe and yada, yada. And we're okay. And then it's like raining. I'm like, I'm a jerk. Big old jerk.
I'm good friends with a lot of weather people, including Ken Earhart, my friend over Channel 4, Brian. I am. Yeah. And I've had this, and Matt Chambers, and I've had this conversation with him on a number of occasions. And you know, their argument is if they interrupt your favorite TV show because there's some pending weather disaster, like a tornado, you wouldn't believe the phone calls you get at the TV station when that happens. We interrupted a NASCAR race one time for a tornado, potential tornado, and we had people calling in death threats to the TVs. You people need to turn it. I mean, they were angered that we had interrupted their NASCAR show for a tornado.
Oh, sure.
I understand that. You'll never find an argument for me that I don't care if the tornado's in Florissant and your TV service in Potosi is getting interrupted. They may be saving lives. So there's a reason that they're doing what they're doing. There are. But at some point, we've gone too far the opposite direction. I wonder, this would be impossible to gauge. I don't even know what economist like an UMSL or SLU or somewhere could even put a finger on this. But I wonder what the economic impact was of that blown forecast on Friday. My daughter's new company that she's working for, they shut their doors at noon, which means no money was made from noon on Friday. So you got to wonder what the impact. All the schools closed preemptively, like my kids' school closed. They only had a half day to begin with. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was still no moisture. They would have gone to school, come home, and gotten that day in the books, even though they probably wouldn't have gotten much accomplished in a half day. But still, they could have gone to school.
Before it even started raining. Like, right. All it did was rain.
I do not envy the people that have to make those decisions, because if you're wrong either way, you are going to get crushed.
True.
Absolutely crushed.
You're going to get your butt
chewed. If you keep school open and something happens, imagine what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
But if you go the other way, this conversation's taking place.
Can you agree with me, Brian, having been in the television news business as a veteran as well, that the quest for ratings has pushed these meteorologists to act the way they act these days? And I got a lot of respect for them. Don't get me wrong. What they do can be life or death situations. Right. But a long time ago, the people who go in and they tell television, like we used to joke that consultants are simply out-of-work news directors who tell other news directors how to do their job. And if you're not telling them something they haven't heard before, you're not really giving them anything useful. So I think this got cooked up years ago that you need to sell your weather team, as I look up at the ad right now for the best weather forecast on Channel 4, you need to sell your weather team as the only weather authority in St. Louis. And then every time it clouds up, you need to lead with weather, and you need to tell people that this is the only station that's going to be able to tell you the truth about what's about to happen.
I think they have to do something to differentiate themselves from this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. From
and
phones.
I'm holding up my phone.
Yes.
It's very easy for me to go to the Weather Channel app, see the 7-day forecast, see what the high is, see what the low is, see what's expected to be. And that's it. I have what the best educated guess as to what the weather is going to be. So how do you get people to keep watching you so you can have ratings, so you can drive revenue, so you can grow your business? You have to do something to differentiate yourself. So, yes, I do agree that there's definitely something there. And I think that's their challenge. I think there is a lot of value that meteorologists can provide that I can't get on my phone. But it's very hard. I mean, you know how difficult it is in local news when, you know, you're fighting for just a tiny sliver of the viewing audience. I mean, how many people actually watch the local news anymore?
The numbers are going downhill all the time, and I understand that. When I got out of television news in 2012, I had that conversation with a member of management down there, and they're like, well, it's just, you know, the audience is shrinking because of cable and all these and digital and all these other things that are drawing attention away from what they're doing. So I know that is a fact. And I'm just saying, at some point, you almost have gone to the point of you're scaring the hell out of people because it's winter and you're going to get a little snow and all that. But to Brian's point, the minute you miss the forecast and something happens that you didn't forecast, then you're getting your butt chewed because somebody got trapped on the Page Avenue extension for 7 hours because they couldn't get home because you didn't tell us there was going to be that much ice. And or MoDOT didn't handle it well because they misinterpreted the forecast.
Yeah.
It drives it.
When superintendents are making decisions on whether or not schools are going to be open,
on forecast.
they're making their determinations based on what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure on them to try and be right. And when they're using the same information we have access to, I can look at a radar. Now, I'm not trained to look at it in the way that a meteorologist is, but I still have access to a lot of the same data. They just read it differently. It's not easy. I don't envy them. I have a lot of respect for what they do. They have to be right, and it's very difficult to be right every single time.
When I quit television, occasionally I'd have people come up to me and they'd look at me and they're like, "I know you. Aren't you that weather guy?" I'm like, "No, dude. I did not do weather." And let me tell you why. I had the luxury of being able to report on things that had already happened. So I knew that I was telling you the truth. They have to guess at things that are going to happen. And that is not an easy job. I'm not saying they have an easy job. I just wonder after events like Friday if we haven't gone a little too far the other direction.
Do you ever have to do a weather cast in like college or anything like that? I did one.
Did you? I don't think I ever did.
It did not go well. It was I think it was RTN 565. So you had to, you anchored 1 week and then you co-anchored and then you did weather, then you did sports and you produced. So you had to do one of everything. And I did one weather cast and I couldn't handle. So there's screens on both sides of you and then right in front of you. Right. And you're supposed to go to the one side to side. I kept wanting to go right in front of me. So it was like a 3D, like coming into your television screen. I kept the air check for a while. I think I lost. Yeah, it did not go well. No. I realized that is not the path that I'm going to take.
It's a skill. It really is. Operating in front of a green screen like that doing weather is a skill. Right. And not everybody can. I will tell you this. I keep name dropping here. Sorry. First Tim Couch, now this one. I went to college with Bill Hemmer from Fox News, and Hemmer was one of those guys. He was one of those guys you loved to hate, because from day one, when we went into the studio at Miami University there in Ohio to do our first ever newscast, we were all so excited. We were going to be, you know, the next, at that point, Tom Brokaw or whatever. Mm-hmm. We sit down. There's no teleprompter, so we're having to read our scripts and look up like this. From the minute he did, the first newscast I ever saw him do, and all Hemmer wanted to do was sports. He was a sports broadcaster in Cincinnati for a long time. And he was a natural. Didn't look like he was reading anything, even though he was only had a script. He didn't have a teleprompter. He was just a natural at it. And there are people like that, that you know right away. I'm like, God, this guy. So I leave there and go to market 212 for my first job. Hemmer rolls out of there and goes to Channel 9 in Cincinnati, Market 32. Probably may not have heard that his dad was a big-time lawyer in Cincinnati. I don't know. I'm just saying. He rolled out of there and went to a much bigger market than the rest of us. So there are people who are weathercasters. We used to tease Matt Chambers that as a young child, he used to practice in front of a mirror. His expressions and all that, too, because he's just so natural at what he does over there. I know he does great day now. I've told him this many times that they missed the boat at Channel 4 not keeping him on the meteorology desk. I mean, I know he loves what he does, but he's passionate about weather.
I don't think there's anybody that has more energy doing weather than
No
than
kidding.
Matt. Yeah, I loved watching
him. He's fantastic. Yeah. Like,
it's kind of hard to keep someone's attention doing weather because it's just...
Yeah.
I've never done. Obviously, clearly, I'm not very good at it. But yeah, you're just a lot of time just giving some basic information. It's not terribly sexy or anything like that, but he's very good at what he does.
Good stuff. Fun to have Brian Feldman in here with us today. He of course does news down at KMOX these days as well as his day job, and fun to have him filling in for Denise this morning. We're going to get to a quick break. Hans von Spakovsky joining me at 6:10 to talk impeachment, and Alex Salzman live on the ground at the Virginia gun rally.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.